Hey, this is Michael from Modern Musician, and before we start the show, I wanted to let you know that right now, I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Specifically, we're looking for artists that have at least one song professionally recorded. It doesn't have to be, you know, Beyoncé-level production, but it just needs to be something that you feel proud of and you're ready to promote. We're looking for artists who are really just poised for growth and are ready to go all in on their music. And yeah, there's this saying that when the student's ready, the mentor appears. And so that's you. If you're truly ready for it, then I want to invite you to apply for a free coaching call with our team. The goal is to launch an automated system that allows you to build a loyal and engaged fan base so you can make a sustainable income with your music online without having to sell your soul to social media or post 20 times a day on TikTok. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application and share one of your songs. I'm looking forward to checking out your music, and now let's start the show.
Tidal have been rolling out Tidal Artist Home, which is also known as Tidal for Artists. What that does is they try and play matchmaker. So any artist that signs up within Tidal Artist Home and says that they're looking for people to collaborate with, they can create a profile. It's private within the back end at this time. You can choose songs that you want to highlight. You can talk about who you would potentially like to collaborate with, and then they play matchmaker. They don't take anything from it other than helping to match you and, you know, feeling good that they matched two artists together and they worked on a track.
It's easy to get lost in today's music industry with constantly changing technology and where anyone with a computer can release their own music. But I'm going to share with you why this is the best time to be an independent musician, and it's only getting better. If you have high quality music, but you just don't know the best way to promote yourself so that you can reach the right people and generate a sustainable income with your music, we're going to show you the best strategies that we're using right now to reach millions of new listeners every month without spending 10 hours a day on social media. We're creating a revolution in today's music industry, and this is your invitation to join me. I'm your host, Michael Walker. All right, so I'm excited to be here with my Australian friend, Mike Warner. So Mike is a DJ slash producer slash music executive with over 20 years of experience in the music industry across different roles. He's developed some expertise around helping artists to be able to grow their presence and their audience on music streaming platforms. Music streaming. Have you guys heard of it? I bet you have. Welcome to 2024. So Mike wrote a book called Work Hard, Playlist Hard. He's the head of editorial marketing partnerships from North America with Believe. And today I'm excited to have him on the podcast to talk about, at the time of recording this, what are the newest DSP-provided tools? You know, things are evolving incredibly quickly, and there's some cool stuff that's being released right now. So Mike, you know, thank you for taking the time to come on here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here. And yeah, I encourage you to milk that novelty of me having the accent for as long as we can. I've been living in the United States for 10 years and it hasn't gone away, and I'm not trying to lose it either.
It is nice. Man, I remember when I lived in Australia for a year when I was in like eighth grade, it was the first time that I think I felt like I was special or unique. Not for anything like that I could take like responsibility for, but just because like I had an accent, like, oh my gosh, your accent, your bloody American accent. Clearly, wow. My Australian accent is
that sounded not like very an angry good. British pirate or something. But
would you like some tea and crumpets? That's my British accent. That's not okay. Down under at all. Everyone overseas hates me now. They're like, he's this horrible accent. But yeah, Mike, maybe we could kick things off. Maybe you could just introduce yourself briefly and share a little bit about your background and kind of how you went from DJ producer to music executive and, you know, develop the expertise that you teach now related to DSP tools and streaming.
Yeah, I'm going to try and give the shortest version possible because I know we want to geek out and talk about all the tools today. So I'm going to do like a very quick timeline overview. First things first, in high school, burned mix CDs, shared them with friends, really enjoyed doing that. I definitely wasn't mixing or anything special. It was just burning, but that was new at the time. outside of high school, got into promoting at various nightclubs, handing out drink cards to school friends, which was really easy to do when you're 18 and your friends are just going out in Australia and wanting to have a drink and party and listen to music. That led to meeting the DJs and MCs. And then I did a course. And then I spent a few years following DJs around, driving them, setting up their equipment, learning the ropes, and then started DJing myself. And then a few years after DJing and performing, I wanted to do more. I wanted to travel. So I learned music production for anyone that's familiar with SAE, the School of Audio Engineering. And then fast forward to years of releasing music with various projects, I moved to the United States. And at the time, and still, the current project, or I shouldn't say project, the current group that I'm a part of is called Dates Night, which is two friends that live back in Australia. We still put out music now, but we were in the process of releasing our first album. Record labels weren't interested because of the name, because of the fact that we were releasing each song almost fell within a different genre, despite the fact we had our own sound. So we decided to just go independent. At the same time, I was, of course, moving to the US. And when I got here, while I was waiting for my right to work and green card and all of that fun stuff, I was spending my time at the computer learning more about what we could do to push our music, especially on streaming platforms. And so we had some wins. You know, there were a lot of things that, you know, there were a lot of mistakes, but there were some wins. And from there, just completely went down the path of being independent, but actually had a lot of people that started to approach me as they saw these successes coming through and saying, how did you do that? And that led me on the path towards where we are today, where I started writing books, I started doing workshops, I started speaking at various events. And, you know, I just found that so much more rewarding personally to be able to just put this out and help an endless number of artists versus just releasing music myself and putting all this knowledge into practice just for myself and my friends. So, and yeah, I've been doing that and I love doing it. And I've been doing it the whole time while holding down a day job, a number of different day jobs over the years. And that's how we first connected. And that's what brought me here today. I just love, in a way, geeking out on all of these tools that are available. And, you know, streaming is where my knowledge is. And I just love to share it with anyone that wants to listen and is willing to put this into practice.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I always try to avoid taking for granted the fact that we have access to such amazing like depths of knowledge and experience, you know, from people like yourself and just from all of us, like with the internet nowadays too. It's like an exponential curve. Information technology is like exploding, and it's easy to forget that like 100 years ago, people didn't have this, like they didn't have the ability to be able to learn from basically people, like almost anyone that you can imagine that you'd want to learn from, or any skill, you know, any knowledge, you know, it's almost all of it's on the internet somewhere. You just have to figure out like how to find it. And luckily we're able to bring host guests like, you know, Mike, to be able to kind of share this knowledge to help shortcut years of your life having to kind of figure this out the hard way. So really appreciate the work that you're doing and sharing that. So, you know, specifically as it relates to new DSP provided tools, I'm curious what the current landscape is. And you mentioned that there's, you know, some cool updates and things to share. So what does it actually look like related to the DSP?
Yeah. You know, and I will just add a like disclaimer in here that like I talk about music streaming and I know that everyone has different opinions. There's all kinds of conversations about royalty rates and things like that. But music streaming is my world. It's what I know. And it's one piece of the puzzle. You know, I'm not saying just because I don't talk about radio or touring or merch or things like that, that they're not important. They absolutely are. But
tell me this, Mike.
Yeah.
If I implement what we're about to talk about, will I make $1 million in my first month with streaming?
If you could do that, I would love to know how you did it. But also,
that's it. I'm turning this off now. I can't get rich quick in 1 month with streaming.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I look back on conversations I had 20 years ago before streaming was even a thing. And, you know, multiple friends, we would all say, if we got into music because we wanted to make money, we never would have stuck around long enough to actually see that money. Mm. And, you know, it's true. Like I was, when I first was DJing, I was getting less than I was getting in my day job per hour. And I was performing at 10 p.m. at night. I'd be starting gigs. Obviously that changed over time, but you know, if I wasn't doing it because I loved it, I wouldn't have stuck around long enough to see that DJ fee go up. And, you know, it's the same with my career in music. You know, when I first started working in my day job, I had took a pay cut and, you know, it took a very long time to build that up. So if you're in this long term, like, yes, you know, I really hope that you get to see that. But yeah, overnight, like, you know, you're gonna try something else. You're not gonna stick around long enough if you're thinking that way.
100%. Yeah. And I think it's good to maybe up front we can just sort of clarify, what do you think is the role of streaming, or why is it important, you know, for artists to learn, you know, how to be successful as it relates to streaming platforms, if maybe it's not the, you know, the number one way that they're likely to make the majority of their revenue as a musician? You know, what is like the main benefit that they get from learning this?
Yeah, I would say growing your audience. And I don't want to say exposure, because that's turned into such a negative word, because it basically means free or close to free, which we've heard in the touring world for years. But, you know, honestly, the way that I see it is another way that you're going to reach that fan in that location that you've never been before, is by being present on social media, on streaming platforms. In some ways, and it's kind of a controversial take, you know, I've said, if you look at social media platforms where for the most part, you're not seeing any direct return on that investment, you know, you're not getting paid because you posted an image to Instagram or things like that. Some artists have decided to start looking at streaming the same way and say, well, it's a place where I show up. It's a place where I put my music out, where I can be discovered, but I'm not banking on that being my primary source of income. You know, and you look at some of the largest artists in the world and streaming, yes, they're getting large numbers and they're making money, but they're making even more money from the touring and all of the other things that they're doing as well. So, you know, that's actually helped me, instead of looking at, you know, what that royalty looks like each month, actually thinking, okay, I'm showing up on streaming, I'm doing all of these things. Now it's time to do all of the other things in addition to make sure that I'm making an income that I can live on as an artist. But as far as these tools that I wanted to share, like for everyone, like I can't see obviously the chat right now, but you know, I usually like to just sort of ask everyone in general, like what streaming platform you use yourself, as in as a listener, as a fan of other artists. And you know, most of the time, like I'm sure that Michael, there's some responses coming in. Most of the time people will say the main ones, you know, Apple Music or Spotify or YouTube or SoundCloud, you know. And one thing that I've always found is that a lot of artists won't pay attention to platforms outside of what they use themselves or what they feel are the biggest for them. So, you know, there's definitely been a lot of times where artists will say, oh, I only share Spotify links and I only talk about Spotify and I don't tell people about the other platforms. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing like an in-person presentation, I'll go through each streaming platform and there'll usually be hands in the room from people that haven't even heard of some of the platforms that I talk about. And the reason why that's important is people will listen on the app that they choose. You know, it's very unrealistic that a fan is going to go and subscribe to a different app just because you're telling them to go there. You know, if we want an example, let's look at Tidal when Kanye West, oh gosh, I could probably think of another example. Beyonce or Jay-Z went and said, our music is only available on Tidal. The only way that you could stream it right now is on Tidal exclusively. And, you know, people went and they started pirating it, torrenting it, getting it through other means. And then eventually it became available on all other platforms anyway. So I guess what I'm getting at with this is your fans are going to listen where they listen. So reach them on those platforms. And you know, to give you some ideas, there's in the Middle East, there's Angami. Throughout Africa, there's Boomplay. In India, there's GeoSarvan. You know, in some countries, there's Cobuzz. There's only in the United States, Pandora. There's a number of these platforms that get overlooked for different reasons. And some of them are simply the artist can't download it where they're located. So they don't know what their, you know, if their music's available on there or what it looks like. But I think for the sake of today and for the sake of time, like, we'll focus on the ones that are more commonly known and some recent features that have been added. So
do you know roughly what percentage of listeners are on like Spotify versus Apple Music? Like, I assume those are the top two, right? Tidal's what, in top three?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one as well, because if we look at just the US as far as subscriber numbers, Pandora, as one example, only exists in the US, but they're actually in the top five in terms of subscriber numbers, monthly listeners. You know, I think Tidal might be within the top 10 in the US, and I've heard people talk about market share before and say, oh, you know, this particular streaming platform only has 1 or 2% of the global market. And I say, well, I'd love to get in on that, you know, especially if it's a very minimal amount of work and time invested. If I need to just spend 30 minutes, you know, twice per year to have a potential audience on that platform, I'll do it. And the other thing as well is I find that platforms that are smaller are working harder to get artists excited and to get them involved and to provide opportunities for those artists. You know, when you get to a Spotify level, it becomes a little tougher to get noticed. But when you've got the smaller platforms, you know, once again, throwing it back to Pandora, they're more hands-on. They have calls twice per month where editors actually jump on the call and people can talk directly to them and ask questions, and they give out their email addresses in the call. And, you know, to give you an idea, Pandora, last time I checked, they have about 60 million monthly listeners. And they're only available in the US. So if you're trying to reach people, you know, there's all of these other platforms and these numbers add up. And there's people that are only listening on them. So it's a great way to reach them.
Interesting. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that concept of like being a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond, where, you know, the big pond in this case might be Spotify, but, you know, it's pretty saturated because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of music there, where some of these smaller platforms, you could actually, you know, be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. Yeah, I was just looking at some of the stats at the time of recording this. It looks like Spotify has about 30% of the music streaming market share, followed by Apple Music has like 13.7, Tencent Music has 13.4, Amazon has 13.3. So it looks like Spotify has less than I would have expected of a lead, and also just like less than I would have expected of in general, like 30% of streaming happens on Spotify. I mean, 70% of streaming is happening on other platforms aside from Spotify. That's much bigger than I would have realized.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and the thing is, like, if you're only focused on Spotify, then you're really only focusing on that percent of the market.
Yeah.
And this isn't to say that Spotify shouldn't have your attention. They absolutely should, but there's nothing wrong with also giving some attention to the others as well.
Awesome. So when we were talking about the DSP and like new tools and kind of the current landscape, I'm curious what's happening right now in terms of the world of distribution.
Yeah, definitely. So some recent tools, I'm going to share these links with you directly if you want to share them with everyone else as well. But the one from Amazon Music that they launched recently is called Hype Deck. Now, what this does is it allows you to create what they refer to as hype cards, where you can share milestones, you can share new releases, you can share pieces of content within Amazon Music. And I don't like referring to music as content, but this also includes podcast episodes, artist profiles, and things like that. So it's not just music within Amazon Music that you can share. And These cards, they're basically created for you. You can customize the color and the size and things like that, and they're ready for you to share on social media. One thing, you know, people might say, what's the real benefit in this? You know, I'm just sharing a card and a link to myself or my music or a podcast episode on Amazon Music. One thing that I've noticed they've started doing is these links are clearly trackable, so they can see how many people are following that link, which means how many people are you sending from social media to an artist in Amazon Music. Also, I've noticed that when people have been sharing them and tagging the Amazon Music for Artists account on socials, such as Instagram, sometimes they've actually been going in and sharing them, which means that you're getting eyes from the social media team and potentially getting noticed across Amazon Music's accounts as well. And it's one of those things where the artwork is created for you, the link is generated, you just go in there, a few clicks, you've got something to post. And for a lot of artists, you know, they find it challenging to do a different post for each streaming platform on social media. But, you know, this is one example of why that is so important, because you're bringing awareness and the platform is taking notice as well. And I should mention, you know, with that example with Amazon Music, Apple Music have something similar as well. So they have a feature called Promote within Apple Music for Artists. And this will also create custom assets for social media, images, give you a link. Now, one thing that's really big, and the reason I've kind of grouped these two together, is that I want to talk about the importance of encouraging people to follow you on these two platforms in particular. So with Amazon Music, if people follow you, the artist, on Amazon Music, they will get notifications on their Alexa device in their lounge room, on their Amazon Music app, on their computer or phone, every time you get a release in the future. As long as you're submitting those forms with your music in Amazon Music for Artists and saying, I have an upcoming release, here's the mood, here's the genre, here's where I'd like it to be considered. By submitting that form, anyone that follows you will get a notification for that release to their device. So that's a big one. Apple Music for Artists, there's actually less steps involved. If someone goes and favorites you on Apple Music, which is like a little star now, every time they open the Apple Music app on their home screen and they scroll down, there's a section that says favorite artists, and you'll be right there on their homepage. Additionally, new releases, every new release moving forward from that point, as long as they have notifications turned on, they will get a notification that you have a new release available. Also, that new release will potentially be highlighted on their homepage because they favorite you as well. So, you know, I've found a lot of artists, because Apple Music don't show stream counts, they don't show favorite counts, follower counts, I've seen artists maybe overlook that part. But I think that it's incredibly important. You know, if we want to talk, you know, we were talking about market share before, think about how many people have an Apple device that have at least had an Apple Music subscription at some point as a result, and still do. By encouraging them to just go ahead and favorite you, means that you are now on their homepage every time they open the app, and they can tap straight through to your profile. So yeah, I would say that that's a really big one that I've been encouraging. And using this Promote tool in Apple Music for Artists, there's even an image that says favorite me on Apple Music, you know, and then you could say something like, don't miss a future release. And then it includes a link for you, go straight to your profile. They still, of course, need to click that button, but hopefully they're prepared to do that as a fan. So yeah, those two are ones I wanted to share. And then if it's cool, I'll jump into Tidal as well.
Yeah, let's do it.
So a few things with Tidal. Tidal have been rolling out Tidal Artist Home, which is also known as Tidal for Artists. One feature in there that's in beta right now that they've just started really pushing is called Collabs, or Collabs, depending on your accent. But what that does is they try and play matchmaker. So any artist that signs up within Tidal Artist Home and says that they're looking for people to collaborate with, they can create a profile. It's private within the back end at this time. You can choose songs that you want to highlight. You can talk about who you would potentially like to collaborate with. And then they play matchmaker. They don't take anything from it other than helping to match you and, you know, feeling good that they matched two artists together and they worked on a track. Then Tidal also have other features. There was one, I just want to be clear, this was a test that they did in December 2023, where for 2 weeks they opened up the opportunity to pitch for editorial consideration, specifically playlists on Tidal. And the way that artists could find this was in Tidal Artist Home. For that 2 week period, there was a button that showed up and artists were able to submit directly. The reason I mention this now is that it's likely that things like that are going to start happening more and more in Tidal Artist Home. So if you haven't signed up yet, it's artists.tidal.com and you're going to see those things in that dashboard before you see them anywhere else. Like the option to collaborate, I saw that just by checking. You know, I check once a week. I don't check daily. And that's where I saw the editorial playlist pitching option. And I just told everyone. I said, let's break this thing so that they know how much demand there is for this from artists to be able to actually get in front of the editorial team for consideration. One more thing with Tidal, and I will just say that currently to do this next feature, you need to have a paid subscription, but you can go live in Tidal in the app. And what that means as of today is that you can start playing music and then on the app, on your phone only at this time, in the top right corner, there's a button that says live. By doing that, everything that you're playing, anyone that listens in is hearing it at the same time. There's no talk breaks. There's no ads being served or anything like that. There's a 2 hour limit. But what I found really cool about this for a use case for an artist is you could broadcast this on social media and say, hey, this Friday at 2 p.m., I'm going live playing my new album from start to finish and then playing a few selections of songs from other artists that inspired the album and continue to inspire me. And it's a interruption-free listening experience for the fans and the artists. Of course, they can be chatting on Discord or another platform while they're listening. And it will show you how many people are listening in real time. So if you go live and you have, let's say you have 10 people or 100 people listening, you'll see that in the top right corner. If that's 100 people, that's 100 individual listeners listening to that song. That's 100 streams for that song in that exact moment. So for an artist, if you're playing 10 or 20 songs, you know, that can add up very quickly. And, you know, when looking at royalty rates, I won't quote them because, you know, it's changing constantly, but Tidal is definitely towards the higher paying out of other streaming platforms as well. So I've seen really good use cases for this for artists, and there's really no preparation involved other than choosing what you're going to play. You don't have to worry about being camera ready. You don't have to worry about what you're going to say. And yeah, for a lot of artists, it's been really fun to tune in and hear what they play on there. And of course, if you have a playlist on Tidal that you've created that you're playing through in that live session, people can tap through and follow that playlist as well, as long as it's public. So yeah, that's a feature I've been using a lot and I found it really fun. It's always interesting to see what, and also I should mention Tidal, when you go live, they highlight live sessions on the homepage as well. So there's a lot of opportunities to be discovered by listeners that may not even know you, the artist, yet. So it's a great way to be putting your music out to an audience and to people that don't necessarily know you yet as well.
So just to make sure I'm understanding the tool correctly. So when you go live, it's sort of like creating your own like radio station that people can tune into live in real time, listen to the same thing. And you'd handle like the chat within like a different platform, like Discord or something. But this basically lets you create your own playlist or like a radio station, kind of like a a broadcasting platform where people can like tune into the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And there's no, they don't have a chat in the app or anything like that. So, you know, the artist can manage the chat elsewhere. And the good thing is once you've gone live once, that link that you would share to say, hey, join my live session on Tidal, it's the same every time you go live after that. So if you're consistently going live every Friday at 2 p.m., people can go to that same link. So if you have it perhaps, you know, in your smart link or your link tree or whatever you use, you could say, join me every Friday, 2 p.m. PST for 2 hours on Tidal. And yeah, you know, it's like your own personal show that you're hosting. Well, hosting without talking.
It's nice. Yes. Not as much pressure.
Exactly. Cool.
Well, speaking of being live and hosting a show, we are here with a live audience. And so I would love to open up the floor to anyone that has a question that they'd like to ask. So feel free to raise your hand or you can put it in the chat. See Vaz raise his hands. Let's bring on Vaz. Hopefully they'll be able to hear you okay. Hey, Vaz.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Wow, can hear you loud and clear.
Beautiful. I was wondering, because if you're not interested in dealing with all the competition that's in all of these DSPs that have just got gazillions of music artists performing, since we are tailoring through Modern Musician our funnels to incorporate our own or curate our own communities, what do you think about the idea of establishing a subscription to somebody with a catalog like I have, only to the people that are willing, that want to subscribe to my channel? It may not get me to be that super wealthy person overnight, but it will give me an edge on other musicians and other artists, that you can only see my stuff primarily on my subscription to my channel. And we can put a few things here and there on YouTube or other networks. But this is truly being independent and just driving revenue through a subscription service on our own platform. I'll leave that to the floor.
Awesome. Thanks, Oz. So just to recap, it sounds like the question is, you know, how do you feel about gating certain kinds of content to a subscriber-only channel? And how do we use these tools like Spotify and these other platforms where there's, you know, millions and millions of listeners already? And what do you think about the strategy of having some content that's available, but some content that's like gated behind a subscription-only paywall?
Yeah. So one thing I say is you should be available everywhere, but I don't see any problem with some content being just for those true fans and gating it. You know, there has been rumors about some DSPs moving in this direction where, you know, fans that follow an artist or maybe pay a few dollars extra per month that is meant to be direct to that artist will get early access to music and things like that. I'm curious to see what that would look like, but I like that idea because it means people are already using that app. So to get additional content from that artist, if they're making a direct payment to that artist, that sounds good to me. Creating a separate streaming platform for one artist might be a reach, but I also think it's worth trying. I think if enough artists start doing it, you know, as long as there's experiences within your separate offering for your fans. So maybe it's, hey, you know, we're going to have conversations. You're going to get access to my new music videos. You're going to have a continuous stream of my music that you can listen to your heart's content, and music that I haven't released elsewhere. I think it's definitely worth trying. But yeah, I guess I would just say still put out of your music on other platforms so people can discover you. And then ideally someone hears one of your songs that you put out, as you said, through DistroKid, and they hear it on Spotify, and then they come and find you and they subscribe to your own platform directly as well. And they get access to more content. You know, if I think that would be the play that I would see there.
Mm. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. You want to meet people where they're at, and you know, people like our habits are things that are generally like pretty hard to change. You know, if we are doing the same thing every single day, then to start doing something new, like it requires a lot of extra gravity or extra force to change. But for sure, like having, you know, like a Patreon style subscription or having, you know, like an inner circle, like what you're building for your community now is extremely valuable as it relates to things that they can't get on those other platforms. Like on Spotify, like you can't talk to the artist. You can't chat back and forth. You can't do a house concert, right, on Spotify. You can't deliver a house concert, but you can to people who are members of your inner circle, that are members of a tiered subscription. So yeah, 100% agree with the feedback that Mike shared there.
Cool. Well, Michael, just to add, I did hear mention there was something about Music Forward Foundation. I just want to be clear, it's not my foundation. I have spoken at their events, a number of their events over the years. I will share the link for anyone that's interested, but it's through Live Nation, House of Blues, Music Forward Foundation. They put on events multiple times throughout the year. Most of them are in person in LA, but they do virtual events as well. There's one coming up soon, which is called All Access Fest. That's more so geared towards ages 16 to 24 who are looking to get a start in the music industry. And as the name suggests, it's all about access to music executives, established artists, people that have been working in music for a long time, to provide advice and hopefully give them a head start. But they do have other events where they'll focus on personal branding and things like that, which are open to all age ranges as well. But they do incredible things, and I'm a really big fan of what they're doing. So for anyone that wants to check them out, musicforwardfoundation.org.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I just put that in the chat as well.
Cool.
All right. Well, Mike, man, thank you for coming back on the podcast and sharing some of the latest updates that are happening right now in music DSPs. It's a good reminder of the concept we talked about with a big fish in a small pond. And I personally was really surprised just to see like the breakdown of, you know, 30% of listeners are on Spotify. In my own mind, for some reason, I thought it would be like 70% or 75%. So a great reminder of, you know, different ways that people can connect with their fans. So thanks for being on the podcast. And for anyone that's listening to this right now who is interested in learning more or connecting with you deeper, where do you recommend that they go to dive deeper?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, you can go to askmikewarner.com. That's also my handle on all social media as well. And I will say that as far as platforms I'm most active on, some people are surprised by this, but I'm most active on LinkedIn. And the reason for that is that that's where I've really started to, you know, build a strong network. And what I like is that we have artists, we have music executives, we have supervisors for film and television, we have people at the DSPs, and everyone is open to talking on there. If you're on LinkedIn and you have an open profile, people are going to message you. And I've made some great connections on there. I've made some great friendships on there as well. So that's where I spend most of my time. And then when I want to share something really quick, I do a short form video, and you can find me on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube Shorts and all of those as well.
Right on. Well, like always, we'll put all the links, easy access, in the show notes. And let's give a virtual applause to Mike Warner.
Yeah!
Hey, it's Michael here. I hope that you got a ton of value out of this episode. Make sure to check out the show notes to learn more about our guest today. And if you want to support the podcast, then there's a few ways to help us grow. First, if you hit subscribe, then that'll make sure you don't miss a new episode. Secondly, if you share it with your friends or on your social media and tag us, that really helps us out. And third, best of all, if you leave us an honest review, it's going to help us reach more musicians like you who want to take their music careers to the next level. The time to be a modern musician is now, and I look forward to seeing you on our next episode.